WTTS on demand.
Hello.
Hi, is this Will?
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you? It's Laura Duncan at WTTS.
I'm good.
Are you in Indiana right now?
I believe we are in Indiana. We might not yet be in the Eastern time zone, but we're in Indiana.
Well, welcome. I hope that you're in a boat rather than some vehicle with tires, because we've had rain since last Wednesday. It's ridiculous.
Well, we are in a vehicle with tires.
Be careful. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time today. I want to say, first of all, congratulations on the success of The Suburbs. Grammy, Juno, Brit Awards for the album. I watched you win the Grammy Award and was thrilled. It looked like you were just a little bit surprised, graciously accepted the award, grabbed the Grammy, slammed it on the amp, picked up your instruments, and rocked out. Is that how it happened for you, or do you have a little bit of a different take on that?
No, that's actually pretty accurate.
It was a fantastic experience. Did you expect to win that award, or were you just happy to be nominated, as they, quote, say that one is very happy just to be nominated?
Oh, we did not expect to win by any stretch of the imagination, and it was really fun to win it.
I could tell it was a blast. I mean, if I could just imagine in my head for the rest of my life your faces, that would carry me through any bad day that I was ever having. It was fantastic. Now, how has the worldwide success of this particular project affected your approach on life and work? And you have millions of new fans who are just beginning to understand your music.
Thus far, it really hasn't affected life that much, to be honest. We really just try to make music. We really kind of focus on each project as we do it. So far, nothing has kind of changed our fundamental approach. So it's, you know, we get to have a little more fun on the days off now, but...
That's fantastic. And that's what it's all about, too. Work hard, play hard, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you have seven members that make up Arcade Fire. And a lot of times there's so many contributors that roles have to specifically be designated to keep order in the house while still maintaining the flow of creativity. It seems like a very well-oiled machine. Are there designations for each member of the band?
No, not really. I mean, the closest we have is that Sarah mostly plays violin, but she plays a little bit of everything else as well, but we all kind of chip in whenever we feel strongly about something.
And 15 plus instruments are played. How many of those are played by you, Will?
I play a few different keyboards. I play the piano. I play percussion. I play the guitar. I play the bass. I play the xylophone. I believe that is all. I play the megaphone.
Now, as far as promoting Arcade Fire and the projects, do you take an old-fashioned approach, a grassroots/hit-the-road approach, or are you using inventive technologies to market yourself these days?
I think when we think about promotion, it's mostly just like, is it fun, or is it worth doing? And hopefully everything is both. But we try to let people come to us, because I think it's a lot more of a lasting bond when people can discover you for themselves, and then they kind of feel a bit of ownership. But we like doing all sorts of projects.
And what do you feel about music sharing? I know that the major labels have had some very, very serious problems with music sharing. And some of the independent bands and labels, they really are all about it. Go ahead and share our music. That's what it's about. How do you feel about this?
I mean, I think from a business perspective, it's done us far more good than harm. You know, I don't think we'd have the level of success we have today if people didn't steal our music right off the bat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now, currently, we probably lose more money from it, but it's kind of hard to be mad at people when it's because of them that you have a career at all. So.
Yeah, and I think that music sharing is based on passion. And, someone tells someone and they tell someone else. And that certainly is a grassroots approach. And so it's interesting to hear different takes on music sharing. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Now, The Suburbs, the album proper, seems to be an album based more on a theme of neighborhoods and experiences. And I guess growing up in Houston or living there for a time. Could you talk a little bit about your relationship with your brother, Wynn, and how your bond as brothers has affected your working relationship?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just we see life pretty similarly. You know, we've had very similar other's experiences, and we've influenced each other's musical taste over the years. So that's the biggest effect on the working relationship, I think, is that we kind of know where each other is coming from.
How was your relationship growing up?
It was typical. You know, we didn't truly become friends until we kind of got out of the house more. When Wynn went to boarding school, we both went to boarding school when we were 15. But once Wynn was out of the house, we realized kind of how much we liked each other, or that we were, you know, it was pretty typical brother relationship where we liked each other and did stuff together. But if you asked if I liked my brother, I'd be like, what are you talking about? He's just my brother.
Yep, I understand that.
We're friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you feel when the song William Pierce Butler, when you heard that for the first time? That's a touching piece of work.
No, it was, you know, talking about what's going on in your life. It's good to talk, you know, it's good to be literal and honest sometimes.
Now, I know that you studied at Northwestern University, correct?
That's true.
That led you to some radio DJ work. How was that experience?
It was great. It's a really good radio station at NU, WNUR, 89.5 Evans in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's a very, you know, every Monday night, it was all student-run, but the students would give different lectures on different periods of rock history. It's like, now we're doing Germany, 1974 to 1979.
Hmm.
Now we're doing modern American classical music. Now we're doing, you know, now we're doing New York. Like, now we're doing the Velvet Underground and people who copied that, you know. So it was very kind of a rigorous academic setting, which was good. I learned a lot about underground rock music.
And did you enjoy that part of your career at the university?
Yeah, it was great.
Come back through and come here and just take over my show. Just take it over. Play whatever you want, say whatever you want within limits, and have fun.
Oh, well.
You're not going to say yes or no.
Well, I feel like I hurt your ratings.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. Have you seen my ratings? No, I'm kidding.
That's all. It's more of a concern for you.
Speaking of careers, you know, I think in everyone's career, no matter if you're a musician or if you work on an assembly line, I think there's a point in everyone's career where they realize that they are on the right track or they remove themselves. At what moment in your professional career did you come to the realization, I know this is it, we've made it, this is exactly what I want to do? Or have you?
I mean, I think that's going on all the time. I mean, I was still in college when Funeral came out.
Yes.
It was the fall of my senior year. So I never really had to think about it that hard. I finished college that year, and then I was in a band. I think rock and roll, if you're succeeding in rock and roll, it's kind of one of those archetypal professions where you kind of can't complain. It was like, oh, I'm making my living at rock and roll. Like, that.
Exactly. And to, you know, to follow your passion and then be rewarded monetarily, that's just too much, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, Arcade Fire is touring with the National. Tell us about the process. What goes into picking the opening act? Did you pick that management record label? Is it based on compatibility of music or a relationship with the band members? How do you go about that?
I mean, we try to just pick a band that we like. And then if their schedule is free, then we go with it. And a lot of times the band you like isn't free, so you sort it out. And different people propose different things. You know, sometimes our management will propose someone, but it always comes down to our choice at the end of the day. And we were really lucky that because we're really good friends with the National. We've played with them before, and they're kind of too big to open for us, but we thought it would be really fun for people to see the show because they're such a good band, and they were totally into it. They were like, oh yeah, we'd love to play some shows together. So we were really lucky.
Well, for what it's worth, I think it's one of the best pairings of the year. Absolutely spot on, I think, as far as compatibility of sound and presentation. Good job there.
Thank you.
Now, the show tonight, unfortunately, has been moved from the lawn, which it's a really early date to be outside in Indiana. I went and saw a show outside May 5th last year, and it started out with a tornado and ended with flurries. So for your sake and for everyone's sake, I'm glad that the show has been moved indoors to the Pepsi Coliseum. But did you know the Beatles played there? I mean, in Indiana, we have to take note of these things. The Beatles actually played at the Pepsi Coliseum.
Yeah, That was actually one of the selling points when they were like, we have to move it indoors, but the Beatles played there. And we're like, okay, sure.
Well, the doors are at 6, so the National starts at 7 o'clock. Still some tickets available. Thank you so much, Will, for your time, and congratulations on the success of the band in the suburbs.
All right, thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
WTTS. On demand.